So before I was a priest, I worked in a large office and we had an IT department. Now here we have, you know, an IT half person or something. But we, you know, in a large place, you have an IT department. And when we needed tech support and we have a computer issue, we call someone there. And if you've ever been in that environment, you already know what their first suggestion is to fix just about any problem. Shut down and restart the computer. Rebooting the computer seemed to be the solution to anything. It was their go-to. And so one day I asked, why? Why is shutting down and restarting make such a difference? And they told me shutting down allows all the computer memory to close out all the random, temporary, outdated data that can clog it up and slow it down and actually even stall the computer. And they also said that sometimes, you know, software is outdated, it gets glitchy, and it ends up needing, you know, it uses up the needed memory and processing power, even after you close that software. And so shutting down and starting the computer up again clears all that out. It restores all the memory and processing power to where it's needed. Right now, we're in the final week of our preaching series called Re-Church, Regarding Church. And this week, the homily is titled Restore. Over the past few weeks, we've talked about rethinking what the church is and ought to be. We talked about rebuilding a community based on unleashing our gifts, unleashing the gifts of all the baptized. And last week, Deacon Marco talked about making sure we refill with the Word of God, which is always accessible to us, even during this crazy lockdown. Well, today, as we, you know, anticipate what it'll look like when churches do reopen in some way, I want to talk about restoring things to their right order and their right place. Because while we don't yet know when we will reopen our doors, I can tell you that when we do, it's going to be gradual. It's going to be opening our doors for private prayer at first, maybe the sacrament of reconciliation. It'll be, you know, funerals and baptisms and maybe weddings. Only then will Sunday Mass be open to the public. And even when it does, it's going to be in limited numbers for quite some time. But more important than the how, to me, is the what and why. So what are we going to be restoring in our church? And I look at it kind of like rebooting a computer. We shut down physical gatherings and some ministries, and now, like a computer, when we do start some of those back up, we have to align things to our vision and purpose. Otherwise, it just takes up valuable processing power and memory. Restoring things to their right order. The church needs that right now. The church needs it right now, not because we need it to survive, but because the world needs us operating on all cylinders. They need us with our full processing power, able to serve the mission, the purpose of the church. The world needs that because they need to hear Jesus' saving love for them. They need to hear that death and fear and anxiety and despair do not have the last word. They need to hear that Christ has conquered all of it and invites us into his peace, his joy, and the fullness of life in Jesus Christ. You know, I loved what Vanessa said in our virtual cafe last week. And I know the audio wasn't the greatest, but she said that in her life, even though things on the outside were disorganized and messy, inside things were organized, is how she termed it. Because she now knew She now knew Christ's saving love for her. People now, more than ever, need the organized, rightful order that comes from putting Jesus Christ at the center of their lives. So restoring our church, that isn't for me. And it isn't so that we can restore things to the way they used to be in the back in the good old days. We need to restore now because we need to restore how we engage with the world, so that more and more Vanessas come to make that transformative decision to put Christ first and to begin to live life to the full. Jesus said to his disciples, "Just as the Father has sent me, so I send you." We are sent on a mission. And we know the mission that Jesus gave us. Today in the gospel, he gives us what is called the Great Commission. The Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. He didn't want those disciples. He didn't want those disciples to just hang out amongst themselves, to teach themselves, to give the sacraments to themselves. The great commission that Jesus gives us is to go out into the world, not stay in, hoping that someone happens to come by and check us out. Right now, nobody can come by. St. John Paul II, he warned us against that. He calls it ecclesial introversion. He said, all renewal in the church must have mission as its goal, if it is not to fall prey to a kind of ecclesial introversion. In fact, when the church is inward focused, when the goal is simply, you know, to foster a warm and loving community, then we are actually no longer the church. Community is the means, not the end. The church exists to go out. It exists for our neighbors who are not yet part of the church. And we need the sacraments. We need a warm and loving community centered around Christ. But that's the means. You know, we need a parish, a great parish, that's filled with men and women who inspire you and raise you up. A great parish should be where friends help you discover what God is calling you to, where he helps you discover what gifts the Holy Spirit has given to you. And it should be where we help one another figure out how to do better when we fall short, because we will fall short. And a great parish should be the fuel, the encouragement, the support you and I need to engage with the world, not to hide from it, not to acquiesce to it, but to engage with the world. Mission, as Pope St. John Paul II has said, as Pope Francis says over and over again in the Joy of the Gospel, mission cannot be an afterthought or, let's for sure get around to it sometime soon. Now, and this time we actually mean it. It has to be front and center from the get-go. That's actually how we restore the church. That's how we actually align everything to its mission and purpose. Not by focusing inward, but on focusing on our outward mission. And it isn't so much that we do this just because we have to obey Jesus. It's because we love Jesus and love what he has done for us. And because we love our neighbor. And we want them to know Jesus too. We want them to know his love and his organized peace and his fullness of life. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, I said, I actually wanted to do something crazy. I wanted to do what Pope Francis asks us in the joy of the gospel. You know, he asks us to align all our times and schedules, structures and ways of doing things towards the missionary impulse of the church rather than our self-preservation. Well, Pope Francis, in that same document, in Joy of the Gospel, also outlines the needed elements for parishes to become outward focused, to become mission oriented, he says. He says we need flexibility in our approaches. And let me get to the right one. Sorry. Pope Francis, he says we need flexibility in our approaches and we need to adapt our methods to a wider community that we serve. All because of this, he says, parishes, they don't all have to look alike. It's not a cookie cutter approach. But we do all need to be close to the people that we serve, close to the way they live. Otherwise, we run the risk of becoming out of touch, a self-absorbed club for a chosen few, he says. And he also says, and I think this is the key for us, is that all, in everything that a parish does, in all that it does, it needs to raise up and train missionary disciples. In all that it does, it needs to raise up and train missionary disciples. What is a missionary disciple, you ask? Well, I'd say that a missionary disciple is someone who's made the decision to put Christ at the center of their lives. It's someone who wants authentic Christian community and someone who has a daily prayer life, who thirsts for more of God through scripture, through the sacraments, through the teachings of the church. It's someone who's open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and using them to serve in some way, both inside the parish and outside in the larger community. And it's someone who can share their faith in what God has done in their life. But really, at the essence, at its core, the heart of what it means to be a missionary disciple to me is someone who loves God. Someone who knows Jesus died on the cross for them. It's someone who loves their neighbor and wants their neighbor to encounter God's love for them. It's not all that complicated. It's love God and loving neighbor and wanting those two to meet. Now notice when I was listing some of those characteristics of a missionary disciples, I didn't say anything about going out and knocking on doors or getting up on a soapbox in the middle of a public square or handing out pamphlets or anything else that frankly would freak me out. I talked about the sacraments and community and prayer and scripture and teachings of the church and serving in ministries. I talked about the things that in reality, most Catholic parishes have done to varying success. But I also talked about being open to the Holy Spirit and being able to share our story and how God is working in our lives and seeing our service as opportunities to share why we care about serving others. But why we actually love them. Because we know God loved us. We know God loves us, not loved us, loves us. And we know that God loves them. And we want them to experience that transformative love in their life. Restoring the church isn't so much about what we do as a church. Because we need to build community and celebrate the sacraments and help people grow in prayer and ministry and holiness. Restoring is about always being clear about why we do the things we do. Because we care about our neighbors. And it's about doing all those things in such a way that it encourages, equips, and supports one another to live life with joy and peace and fullness of life in Jesus Christ. And to share that with our neighbors. Pope Francis in the Joy of the Gospel goes on to say, he says, I invite everyone to be bold and creative in this task of rethinking the goals, structure, style, and methods of evangelization in their respective communities. Right now and for the foreseeable future, we cannot do things the way we have always done it. Now is the time to be bold and creative and to dream big about who we at St. Ignatius are and what our parish can be. Right now is the time to discern where God and the Holy Spirit are leading us. Because as big and as bold and as creative as we can be, God's dreams are so much bigger, so much bolder, so much wilder than we can imagine. I believe at St. Ignatius we have talented and gifted people who are way more creative than me, who dream way bigger than I do. But these are people who share my commitment to rethinking our goals, structures, styles, and methods so that we find new ways to proclaim Christ to our semi-confined world, to our neighbors who, you know, we're talking over the fence with, to share share Christ with an anxious and uncertain world that needs the hope and peace that comes from a relationship with Him. Next week is Pentecost. Pentecost is when we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples and launching them into mission. Their mission is still our mission. Next week, I'm going to ask for a new outpouring of that Holy Spirit as we embark on a bigger, bolder vision of how we at St. Ignatius can fulfill Jesus' mission, his desire to reach every person. Next week, I want to talk about that vision. But for now, for this week, pray. I ask you to pray. I ask you to pray for God's help in loving your neighbor. You know, right now, you've probably talked to your neighbor, to your actual neighbors, more in the past few months than you have in the past few years. You might actually even know your neighbor's name for right now. But do you care? Do you actually love them? Do you love your literal neighbors as well as your figurative ones? Do you care enough about them that you want them to know God's immeasurable love for them? Maybe you need to pray to know that love yourself, to be restored into that love. Maybe you need to pray for that love of neighbor. That's where mission starts. Love of God and love of neighbor. Ask for more of that love. Ask to be restored. You may very well need it, but I know your neighbor needs it. I know your neighbor needs your love, and they need to know God's unconditional, absolute love for them.